Hi, I'm Luke Waters, and you're listening to the Hudson Homers Podcast.
Hello, Monarch fans, and welcome to the Hudson Homers Podcast. I am Gary, and I'm joined, as always, by CB. CB, rough week, 1-3 against some good competition, but how are you feeling here?
You know, I'm great. I have a very healthy relationship to baseball games that I'm not directly a part of. I would never let, you know, losing baseball games that I didn't actively play in make me sad and depressed. That's not a thing I would do because I'm a very healthy person.
Well, that's good. I try to be that way as well. But I got to say, it was a little bit of a roller coaster this weekend at Coastal. We went very little offense to a whole lot of offense to then no offense again in the final game. Kind of a roller coaster. And I'm going back to a statement I had a couple of podcast episodes ago. I hope this isn't a bad offense that occasionally scores a lot of runs. I hope it's a good offense that's just not hitting well right now.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I've gotten after today, the game like a Saturday where, you know, break out, score all the runs, hit all the home runs, have just a lot of good, hard, active at-bats. It's gotten to where it's not like, oh, man, this is what this team can really do. It's so exciting. It's like, boy, it really is. It just makes you even more frustrated for the games they did. It's like I can't enjoy it because in the back of my head, I'm sitting there like, why aren't we doing this most games?
Yeah, with the Louisiana series, it was pretty clear. We were not going to hit the ball that weekend. We had no glimpses of an offense. This weekend throws you off a little bit because you put up that, you know, huge number on Saturday. You hit 6 home runs. You set all your season highs, and then you come out Sunday and really just lay an egg in the rubber match that series.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got a chance to take a series against number 20, I mean, that's huge. And the offense just did not show up. And, you know, the pitching wasn't that great in the Sunday game. But at a certain point, it's like, well, you know, does it even matter if you give up 10 runs? If you only got 3 hits, you couldn't come close. We didn't come close to scoring a run. I don't think we even had a runner on third base in the game.
It was not pretty. There were not many opportunities there. But want to update everyone on dollars for dingers, because we did hit some dingers there on Saturday, 6 of them, in fact, bringing our season total to 28 on the dollars for dinger side. And then on bucks for bags, I think CBU said we have 1.
We had 1. Stephen Meyer had a stolen base on Tuesday against UVA, and that was the only stolen base, partly because the only game we actually scored some runs, the guys didn't need to steal bases. They were hitting the ball out of the park. So, but bucks for bags up to 58, still a very respectable total, but you can see, I think I kind of believed as conference play went on, it would get a little harder to steal bases against some better teams, and that's kind of playing out that way.
It certainly has, and Stephen Meyer, who you talked about, 18 for 18 on the season. Luke Waters still at 15. For 16. So those are the two guys carrying a good bit of that bucks for bags load for us. But man, started the week off with a trip up to Charlottesville. We weren't sure if that game was going to get played because there had been weather throughout the day. We had a rain delay during it. But just once again, another trip to Charlottesville coming up empty. Only 2 hits.
Only 2 hits, both by Stephen Meyer, who had the stolen base. But, I mean, you got to give it to the pitching. Like you said, there was, I don't know if you remember, they started the game a half hour early. Started, at 5:30 instead of 6. And then there was a delay in the middle of the game. So it was an odd game with the weather. But Nick Sulpizio started the game. I think it was his first college start. 2 scoreless innings, 2 strikeouts, no walks. I mean, he looked very good that day. Hudson Trobaugh came on after him, inning the third, got a strikeout. He looked good. Kellen Davis finished off the inning for him, you know, doing his bringing in the Raptor. Brandon Pond, 2 2/3. He looked really good. He gave up a run, but he did look good. And Marco Lavari got another good opportunity, came in and kind of shut the door. So through 7 innings, things were looking great. It was 1-0 against one of the top offenses in all of college baseball. I mean, you really can't fault the guys. You know, anytime you're playing number 15 in the country and you lose, it's like, okay, that happens. But they really, our pitching staff really came in well. And Bechara had probably his worst outing of the season. He gave up 3 runs at the end. But again, if the offense didn't score, that kind of becomes irrelevant.
It was a very similar game to what we saw earlier this season in Charlottesville. The pitching held their own for quite a long time, and then the dam kind of broke there at the end. But talk about one of the best offenses in the country. UVA played North Carolina, who's ranked 10th right now, on Thursday and put up a 14 spot on them. They scored 7 against them on Friday, then the final game on Saturday. They lost that game, but they put up 7 runs. So we were able to contain a really potent offense, but I don't know who those midweek guys were that they were trotting out there. I know it was a staff day for them, but they looked pretty good shutting us down. We made them look great up there in Charlottesville.
Well, I know the one guy just because he was the quarterback on the football, Jay Wolfork. He was a quarterback for the UVA football. I saw him pitch in high school. I remember him thinking it was pretty neat that he was going to go do both for UVA.
It was definitely a tough one. I don't know necessarily if it was unexpected just based on our previous performance there and kind of being a midweek. I did think that we'd be able to score a few more runs off of those guys, but just really couldn't put any string of at bats together. And a trend that you will hear throughout the rest of this episode, we struck out 14 times, only drew 4 walks. For a team that wants to play the small ball and a lot of contact, putting the ball in play, 14 strikeouts in a 9-inning game is not gonna help you very much in accomplishing those goals of getting guys on and getting guys over.
Yeah, we're striking out way too much as a team. I'm looking here, actually, as a team, we've struck out 297 times in 256 innings. So that's a ton. I mean, that would be, I don't have a calculator to do any math on that K per nine, but that's pretty phenomenal from a pitching perspective for the opposing team. So like I said, for a team that needs to put the ball in play, needs to get guys on base. And I don't know about the rest of the week, but certainly today there were a lot of strikeouts looking. So right there, that's showing that you're not protecting with 2 strikes. You're not coming up with a good approach. And again, that's just not how you're going to be successful.
That strikeout rate is more indicative of a team that's going to hit 100 home runs this year, where they're taking those big cuts, not really what you would expect. And I know that this is a transition still for this team, and it takes some time to break those old habits and truly buy into the small ball. I think at this point, this many games in the season, you're kind of on board with that plan to play small ball or you're not. And like you said, just some really non-competitive at-bats throughout the 4 games over this week.
Yeah, like you said, the theme of too many strikeouts, not enough hits, not enough walks, it's becoming a repetitive theme for the season, unfortunately.
We'll jump ahead and look at the game on Friday down in Conway, South Carolina. I think I remember FAU on their football sideline had like 1.2 miles to the beach and an arrow pointing to it. Coastal has something similar to that, except without talking about the miles, like play at the beach, that kind of thing, like we have play at the bay. They're about 11 miles from the beach. So if you're wondering why the episode is titled as 11 miles to the beach, that is why. But Friday was really just not a great performance. I mean, it was 8-0 with that big, big 5th inning that opened up. Held everything strong until then, but the wheels really came off there in the 5th.
Yeah, you know, Jay Cassidy came out. He had another good opening performance. Didn't quite make it through the 3rd, but I think that's okay. I mean, they're kind of expecting, you know, if you get through 3, cool. If not, we'll bring a reliever and make it happen. John Hollibetz got him out of the 3rd, pitched a good 4th, and then it just fell apart for him in that 5th inning. Honestly, I think they left him out there too long. He kind of had to wear it. That was, I think, his 4th appearance now out of the bullpen. The first 3 were, I think, he went 12 1/3 scoreless. So you see how easy it is to erase all that good work. It's unfortunate. He's a very talented pitcher. He just had a really bad day.
And the strategy there is a little bit different from what we've seen the 3 previous times he's come out of the pen. He's usually come out of the pen and started an inning where you have Kellen Davis come in to kind of close the door on an inning. He's done that for Jay a couple times on Friday. Didn't see that on Friday. Brought him in straight out of the pen onto the mound to get the last out of the inning. And I'm wondering if maybe mentally that put him in a different spot than what they had seen before. But that was the only real change to that setup that had really worked so well on a Friday for us the past few weeks.
Yeah, I thought of that too, because I was definitely looking for Kellen Davis to come out of the bullpen there. But, you know, there might be something to that. But also he pitched an inning, a 3rd scoreless before that 5th inning. So who knows? Well, yeah, who knows? Maybe they saw him too many times. I'm not really sure. It was just the reality is Coastal Carolina is an extremely good hitting team, and they just kept getting hits on him. And he walked some guys on top of that. So it just steamrolled. Also, you got to mention Vincent Becerra. He had probably his worst appearance on Tuesday of the season, probably his best appearance of the season here Friday night, 2 1/3 scoreless, 2 strikeouts. He looked great at a time when they needed somebody to look great at the end of a game.
If you could just erase that fifth inning, we'd actually be in pretty good shape because we were able to put a couple runs on the board late with Luke Waters getting an RBI double in the sixth and then Maverick Stallings with an RBI single in the seventh. But that was really it, and we dropped that one 9-2. Not the way you want to start a series, but again, Coastal's a really good baseball team. They hit. We talked about it last week, and they just managed to get most of their hits right there in that one inning.
Yeah, again, only four hits on the day for them. Like I said, a couple of RBI hits, but and only two walks. You know, you're not getting enough base runners in that game. So, yeah, the pitching wasn't great, but also, you know, if you only score two runs, you weren't going to be in the game anyway.
First four hitters in the lineup for us only had a combined one hit there. You know, Luke had one. Alex Boucher had one. Carter Sunderman went 1-for-2. And then Maverick, who came in for him later in the game, had a hit. But really just not a whole lot going on. And there were definitely some opportunities where we threw in some pinch hitters. And Rowan Massey got an at-bat. Jack Spites got an at-bat. Not your day on that Friday down there in Conway. But we bounced back in a big, big way on Saturday, putting up a season high in runs, hits, and home runs. We had to watch that one on a replay because I was busy on Saturday, but was very happy to see all those crooked numbers going up on the scoreboard.
That was an extremely fun game to watch. I say we technically run ruled them because we got the fifth up to the 11 run lead there in the ninth. You know, just it happened to me the game was ended by the run rule, but whatever. But you know, just a really outstanding. I think Finney said it's probably their best all around game of the season. The pitching was great. The hitting was great. I mean, it's just everything you want out of your baseball team to do in a day. I mean, that's just, you couldn't have done much better.
Absolutely. And had a lot of guys that had some great stats at the plate. You know, Alex Boucher, 3-for-6, 4 RBIs. He also struck out 3 times in that game, which is really interesting that you go 3-for-6 driving 4 and have those strikeouts. But of course, he hit one of the home runs. Stephen Meyer had a 3-hit game. I mean, really just up and down that lineup. I think everyone who had more than one at bat had a hit in that game for us, which was just great to see.
Yeah, Nick Miller coming in as the DH that day, which is, you know, kind of a surprise insert in the lineup, had a couple of hits, had a homer, had a nice hit early in the game. And so he's one of those guys, you know, he's when he takes his swings, he really looks like he has an all or nothing swing, but he's surprisingly with 2 strikes been very good at kind of shortening up and putting the ball in play. So Nick's an interesting hitter who hasn't had a lot of chances so far yet, but it was good to see him have a nice day at the plate.
I'm always a fan of a guy who hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities, and then when he does in a big spot, he comes up in a big way, kind of rewards the team for taking a chance on him. He certainly fit that bill. This game is really interesting, though. If you go back and rewatch it or even just go through the play-by-play, we kind of started out with the small ball approach, right? RBI single, RBI single, and then we've got like an RBI double. And then later in the game, it is home run, home run, home run, home run. That's all you see in the stat sheet of how we scored those runs. So we kind of combined the Bud Bombers with the small ball approach, and it paid off big time with those 15 runs we were able to rack up there.
Yeah, in both the eighth and ninth, we had back-to-back home runs, which is pretty cool. And from guys you wouldn't necessarily expect, you know, Stallings and Kyle Edwards and again, Lavari and Mueller, you know, they haven't had a lot of chances. Miller hadn't had a lot of chances, and Kenny's just not really a home run hitter. So right there was, you know, guys who aren't, you know, the big boppers doing it at the end too, which is neat.
And then pitching, I thought pitching was fantastic. I mean, limiting Coastal just 4 runs, only 2 of those were earned. Blake Morgan gets the start, goes 2 2/3, gives up just 1 earned run on 4 hits, has a walk and a strikeout. Kellen Davis coming in, doing what he does there in that cleanup kind of role to get out of an inning, faced 1 batter, got that batter out. Trip Buchanan only went an inning in the third, but was very effective, only giving up 1 run on 3 hits. And then Jacob Gomez with his longest save of the season, 4 2/3 inning with 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, when they brought him in the sixth, though, I was kind of like, well, are they going to let him finish it off? And the way he was pitching, I don't see any reason why you'd let anybody else finish it off, especially once you had that big lead. So, well, he's going to be burned for the weekend anyway. You might as well save that another arm, and if he can go out and do it. And he only got better as it went on. And of course, you know, I told you, I talked to him last week about they were telling him he couldn't have as much fun and do as much chirping. You see the umpires there were giving him a hard time about, I don't know what he was doing. Again, umpires hate fun. They hate any kind of enjoyment in the game. How dare you play well and be excited about it? So I don't know why they hate having a good time. It's going to be the kind of stuff you put on social media and pictures and videos of the guys celebrating and having a good time, and they really just hate it. So I guess that, you know, how dare you want to grow the game and enjoy yourselves?
Well, they may have not liked him celebrating, but I know that he is smiling after that performance. I mean, 71 pitches in 4 2/3, the 9 strikeouts. I mean, I think the only thing he did wrong, he had 3 hits that he scattered and 1 hit by a pitch. I'll take that from Jacob Gomez, whether it's at the front end of the game, back end of the game, whenever. I mean, that is a great performance. He continues to just be a rock for us out of the bullpen and getting out.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob is a weapon. He is. I'm looking at his stats for the season. He's got a 1.32 ERA. He's 1-1 with 5 saves, 33 strikeouts, and 27 1/3 innings. So he's actually, what, 3rd on the team in innings and 2nd on the team in strikeouts as a reliever. I mean, that's pretty healthy.
Yeah, that is absolutely healthy. And hopefully we're seeing him close out wins on Fridays. But you know what? I will take wherever he can come in and secure a win for us. We'll gladly take it in this increasingly difficult Sun Belt, and also with just kind of what we're doing offensively, it's a little helter skelter. And there's no better example of that. Of you put up 15 runs on Saturday, you come back and you can only get 3 hits and no runs on Sunday. And we're recording this on Sunday, a couple hours after the game, still pretty fresh in our minds. But that was just a tough game to watch overall.
I'm not gonna lie, I changed it to watching the women's national champ, the basketball final, about when that came on, because I was tired of, and y'all know I'm as big a ODU baseball fan as anybody. I flipped back a few times, but it, you know, I was like, I'm sick of watching us watch pitches right down the middle for strike 3. They had the kid who started for Coastal Carolina had 8 strikeouts, and I bet 7 of them were looking. It was not a good performance. The pitching was not great, but again, that kind of becomes irrelevant. If you can't score a run, it really does. You can't say, oh, the pitching was bad. Well, all right, you didn't score any runs. You didn't get any hits. So who really cares what the pitching did today?
Cameron Flukey for Coastal Carolina was their starter. Probably one of the best pitching performances they've had in a weekend Sun Belt series this season. 5 innings pitched, no runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. He hit 1 batter. Looked really good. And then everyone they brought in out of the bullpen looked great as well, with Henry Weicker and Trevor Hinkle. Got 3 hitless innings, had a 3 combined strikeouts. So I don't know if that's the best pitching that Coastal has to offer, but they definitely look like it today. So you have to tip your cap to them. But offensively for us, it looked like Coastal's approach from the at-bats I watched was they were throwing fastballs up in the zone, and we were chasing them and swinging, but not able to make contact. And if they were able to get ahead in the count, they would come back with breaking balls that dove down out of the zone or stayed right in the bottom of the zone in a lot of cases. And that's what we were kind of caught looking at. So changing that eye level, changing that approach, and they seemed perfectly fine to throw as many strikes as possible because they knew that their offense was going to put up runs. They just wanted to limit the number of pitches they were going to throw and get guys out. And they did a good job. I mean, 115 pitches total thrown for Coastal. Only 1 walk, 1 hit by a pitch, 11 total strikeouts. That's mowing dudes down.
The kid Flukey, he's a freshman. So, I mean, he was out there throwing 95, 96. That's going to be a problem for the Sun Belt for several years. And, you know, Coastal, their second year with their pitching coach, Jason Beverland, who had a very, very short major league career, but had a nice pro career, has been coaching for a while. I think he was a pitching coordinator for somebody. Might have been for the Guardians the last four years. So he's very experienced, very good. He was a good pitcher in his own right. He's been a good coach for a while. And you can see, like you said, you see the results here on a good day for him when their pitching looks really good and they're really following the scouting plan. I'm sure he grew up for him. You're right. That's what you want to do as a pitcher, is you want to change that eye level and make guys not be sure about where it's going to be.
And then throw in mid-90s, that also helps, especially as a freshman. You're right, he's going to be a problem. He's going to be someone we're going to see a lot of unless he jumps in the transfer portal. But
I'm looking forward to when they visit next spring, honestly.
Yeah. Coach Gilmore, who's there, he's run a really great program. He's been there, I think, at Coastal for 28 years, something like that. When I lived in Myrtle Beach, I played baseball with his son, Chance, who actually went to UVA and played for a little bit, had an injury, ended up transferring to Coastal. So the Gilmore name definitely still rings in my ears quite a bit, and they gave it to us on Sunday.
Oh, and speaking of Myrtle Beach, since you brought it up, the minor leagues have started going last week, and this past Friday, all the A-ball AA teams started. The Myrtle Beach Pelicans, they have some ODU alumni. We have Andy Gariola is playing for them. They actually had the 3, 4, and 5 in their lineup the other day. It was Gariola, Jacob Wetzel, who we may or may not remember, he was at ODU actually for a fall before moving on back to a junior college. And then Carter Trice, who was with us for a couple of years before transferring to NC State. So that was their 3, 4, 5 in the lineup. It was three guys that were at one point all on the same team at ODU. Thought that was pretty interesting.
That is pretty wild to think about. I know we've got a lot of guys in the minor league system that are working their way up.
We've got a ton. We've got like 15 guys playing pro ball right now. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good reputation to have, and I'm hopeful that we're able to keep that going. I definitely think there's some guys on our team now that have a lot of good pro potential, but got to focus on this season and try to eke out some wins here, because we go 1-3 this week. You know, at least we got the one against Coastal and didn't get swept. I think I talked about it last week. I look at any of these road series, you have to get one. It's great if you can get two, even better if you can sweep, but you got to get one on the road, and we did. If you go and look at the Sun Belt standings, you're starting to get a little bit of separation at the top, because breaking news, Louisiana has still not lost. They have won 15 straight. They're 11-1 now in the Sun Belt, 24-8 overall. If they're not ranked this week, something is criminally wrong. Like, they should 100% be ranked at this point. Going through a conference is this tough. Being 11-1, as hot as they are, you got to at least throw a 25 in front of their name or something. So hopefully that pops in there, because that would make that sweep from earlier this season feel a little bit better, knowing they're doing it to everybody else. But you got 8-4. At 8-4, you got Southern Miss and Georgia Southern. 7-5, you got Coastal Troy and Georgia State. JMU is 6-6, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. Then you got a four-way tie at 5-7 with us, App State, Texas State, and Marshall. So there's a whole lot of room to move around there. Everyone else is still bunched up. I mean, I don't even think Arkansas State and ULM at 3-9 are necessarily out of the equation, because you just have a couple good weekends and boom, you're right back in it.
To further your point, even just being 3-9 doesn't mean you're like, oh, they're a non-contender. Like, no, they could, you see how, I mean, we're, ODU's 5-7, a couple games here and there that we probably gave away. We could easily be right there at 6-6, right there at 7-5. And I guarantee the same thing is probably true for Arkansas State and ULM there at 3-9. And by the end of the year, they say when it's time for tournament time, I wouldn't say if I'm starting out the tournament and I got ULM at 3-9 facing Louisiana at 11-1, I'm not saying, oh, ULM has no shot. Like, no, that's not the way the Sun Belt tournament or the Sun Belt baseball works. Everybody's got a shot.
I mean, it's a battle every weekend. We've talked about it on every episode. I mean, you're not going to sweep teams very easily. You're going to have to work for it. You have to catch them when they're down. You're going to play your best baseball. But I think my point of that is, even though we have not had the best start, right? We're 5-7 in conference play. That's probably not where we want to be. We definitely want to have a winning record. We still have everything to play for moving forward. We are not out of this mix. We still have time to get more consistent on the offensive side of the ball and put ourselves in a great position for the conference tournament. Because what I don't want to happen is us to end up in a seeding where we have to play a 3-9 Arkansas State with nothing to lose, and they go balls out and just destroy us in the first round and give us that first loss.
I mean, you're right. And it is upsetting when you go 1-3 in a week, but you also have to tell yourself, well, we played two top 25 teams. And realistically, honestly, you know, we've watched this game. Now, ODU's played 29 games this season. They are not a top 25 team. They realistically should not be having a winning record against top 25 teams. So going 1-3 is probably what it should be. At the same time, they were very much in some of those games, and they could have competed. So you're right. I think this is kind of, like you say, so we're 29 games in the season. I'm sorry, we're 31 games in the season. I can't do math. 31 games of the season. 16-15, right? So you are one game above 500. You're 5-7 in conference, so you're a couple games under 500. And like you said, there you're over halfway through the year. You got to ask yourself, well, are we who we are? Are we just a middling team that it's a coin flip one day or another what we could do? Or are we better than we played and we can really make a run this last, you know, 40% of the season? I think the team that we have is the team that we saw on Saturday. I really do. I think that we're showing too many other days like Tuesday and Friday and Sunday where we're not competing and we're not going out and being as aggressive and being the team we can be. So that's something I think these guys really got to dig down deep. They really got to ask themselves, you know, who are we? Are we the guys that go out and fight? Are we the guys that sit there and watch strikes?
And I think we get the answer to that over the next two weekend series. Because we've got JMU that's going to come to town this next weekend, and then we go on the road to Marshall. Yeah, JMU appears to be neck and neck with us. Should be similar to the Charlotte series earlier this year of they're a pretty good team, we're a pretty good team. We're going to find out who's the better team when we play head-to-head. And then Marshall, who it's hard to get a read on them because they're kind of up and down as well. But, I mean, if we come out of those six games in conference there and we go 1-5, I think the alarm bell needs to be sounded at that point because we're in a lot of trouble. But if we're 4-2, 5-1, heck, maybe even 6-0 coming out of there, I'll feel a lot better. But we just have to have some consistent at-bats because that has just been frustrating. It's almost like watching every other sport at ODU. Some nights they look like they could take on the world, and the other nights they wouldn't beat a rec league team.
Man, that's upsetting how true that is. That's not a great thing to have going for all your sports where you're just like tantalized by potential or disappointed by potential at all times. That is fair.
Yeah, we're almost to the top of the mountain, and sometimes we just decide to fall backwards off of it and have to make the long climb back up.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
Well, let's put this 1-3 week right in the trash can. We'll think about that 15-run game and set that as kind of the new goal of that's how you can go out and easily win a game on Saturday against a top 25 team. But we got to make a trip down to Greenville and play East Carolina, who's probably itching for the opportunity for a little payback from their walk-off loss to us at the Bud a couple of weeks ago.
Another top 25 team. And, you know, an ECU is always an interesting atmosphere to play in. You know, they have all their crazies down there that go and yell, and they think they're really making a big deal and impacting the game. And frankly, I don't think the players really care that much. They kind of laugh at anything. So, but they like it. They think it's cute. So, all right. I'm a fan of just rooting for your team, but that's not how people want to be. Coastal is an extremely good team. Were they 22-7? They're a top 25 team. They're 13-1 at home. They got some dudes. We saw them earlier this year. We did a really great job of pitching that night. And then Stephen Meyer had a phenomenal hit that walked it off for us. So hopefully we can have some of that magic again.
And East Carolina just wrapped up their final game with Florida Atlantic and won 8-6. So they are now sitting at 23-7, 6-3 in the American. Early in the season, the kind of quote-unquote knock on them, if you want, is that they were not able to win those midweeks on the road. They lost at Campbell, who we now know is actually pretty good. They lost to ODU. They dropped a head scratcher to Southeastern Louisiana as part of like a weekend classic kind of thing. But let me tell you, since then, they have been just beating the brakes off everybody. Swept Liberty, took a couple games from UNC Wilmington, who's good. Swept Columbia. They had a little bit of a hiccup when they went to UTSA. They dropped 2 out of 3 there, but their losses lost by one run, lost by 2 runs. Swept UAB, who's good. And then more recently, this past week, they rolled into number 19 NC State and beat them 12-4. And then take 2 out of 3 from Florida Atlantic. So they are a very, very good ball club. It's interesting that before they come to us, they're going to play Elon at home on Tuesday, and then we roll down there Wednesday. So they've got a full slate of games this week. Then Charlotte is going to be coming into town for them over the weekend. But, I mean, they're good. They can hit, they can pitch, they can do everything. And I imagine they're going to be a little pissed off that I think we beat them down there last year, and then they lost to us at home this year.
I'd also imagine with that Tuesday game and then a big conference series coming up in state that come that Wednesday game, they're going to be checking that weather report, looking for any ounce of rain they could find.
Yes, and I can't say I would blame them for that, and honestly wouldn't totally hate it for our guys either, other than I think the East Carolina games are pretty fun. They're also probably trying to get on a plane coming back from Boca to Greenville. I don't know if they drove or not. That'd be a very long drive if they did. But with some weather coming across the middle of the country, that could make things interesting for him from a travel perspective.
It's funny, ECU's conference, as we're looking through their schedule here, it's a bunch of the old cast-offs from the our old CUSA foes. We got UAB and UTSA and Florida Atlantic, Charlotte. I see Rice later on in the season. Like they really they got the remnants of the CUSA over there.
Let's be honest. The American is Conference USA version like 6.0 or 7.0. That's basically what it's become. I mean, it's all people that were within the past decade in Conference USA or in another mid-major. Yeah, but it is interesting. They've basically played all their old Conference USA rivals to start the season.
I love that trip out to Tulane and Wichita State. That's got to be, God, what a conference. Oh, boy.
Yeah. We think our travel is bad having to go out to Louisiana. We've been down that Conference USA road before and making those trips out to UTSA and UTEP for football and basketball back in the day. No thanks for me, but that's going to be a really tough one on Wednesday. It looks like it's going to be on ESPN Plus, so you should be able to catch that, provided there's no weather implications or anything. And then we look ahead to another dreaded purple team coming to town, to the Bud, James Madison.
I tell you what, I think it's going to be an awesome weekend. I think it's looking like the weather is going to be good for us. The Bud should be packed. You know, there's always a lot of JMU fans here in the area. I don't know why they hate themselves like that. They need to be JMU fans, but whatever. But, you know, JMU has several local kids on the team. So I'm sure their families and friends are going to come out. And so, and you know, like you said, they're 6-6. We're 5-7, pretty evenly matched teams. It's going to be a good test for both of them to kind of separate themselves and try to, like I said, kind of define the second half of your season to who you are. So I'm very excited for the weekend.
Yeah, and you can do the transitive property. I try not to because it'll drive you insane in the Sun Belt, but they also lost 2 out of 3 at Coastal earlier this year. They dropped 2 out of 3 at home against Texas State, dropped 2 out of 3 to Georgia State. What's really pumped them back up is this weekend, App State rolled into Harrisonburg and got absolutely steamrolled by the Dukes. Clean sweep, 13-9, 8-5, 11-5. So you want to talk about a team that might be heating up a little bit? It could be James Madison. They've got a midweek on Wednesday as well. They have the Richmond Spiders going out to Harrisonburg. And then, of course, they'll come down to Norfolk for the weekend. But there's one thing you want to point to for JMU. They're 14-3 at home. They have been dominant on their home field, but they're only 5-9 away from Harrisonburg. So this is probably they're looking at this probably the same way we are. Of this is a good test. We need to go and we need to get some conference road wins. We need to figure out what our team is going to look like. A lot of feeling out is going to happen from this 3-game series.
It's going to be a good game. I for some reason, my stats aren't coming back up, but I know Fenwick Trimble from Cox is, I think he's been their best hitter. They got Mason Dunaway, who seems like he's not playing every single day, but I'm sure he'll get some games, and he's from Hickory. He's a good ball player. Nick Poole is a really good freshman that's from Western Branch. He looks, he's not playing much at all. So, I mean, that might be a guy that maybe they'll give him a bat or two here at home. We have Max Cool, who his brother Aiden is, of course, on ODU as a pitcher. Max has been their Saturday guy. I'm not sure if he's still their Saturday starter, but I imagine he's going to pitch over the weekend. So there's just a few local guys that we're going to see. And again, just adds an extra dimension, an extra flair to the weekend. So it's going to be exciting. You know, there's always the JMU Royal rivalry that we're getting killed in, unfortunately. So hopefully we can come out and get ourselves some more respectability in that.
Well, shout out to our tennis program for kicking the absolute shit out of them this weekend. At least get us some more points in the right direction. We'll take you in tennis.
Tennis.
Fenwick Trimble, definitely one of their best hitters, hitting 350, 4 bombs, 27 runs driven in, started and played in all their games. Wyatt Pfeiffer, I believe is how you say his name. He's hitting 340, over 1,000 OPS, 3 home runs, 25 ribbies. He's pretty good. They definitely have some guys that can hit. They got 4 guys hitting over 300. Their big home run hitter, though, is Brendan O'Donnell. He has 10 bombs, driven in 25 runs. So I guess a lot of those home runs are solo shots. But 10 bombs in 31 games is a pretty damn good clip to be hitting the ball. So probably want to avoid lobbing him anything close down the middle.
Yeah, they got some good pitching too. I remember this guy Joe Vygotsky. He's been pitching pretty well. Looks like out of the bullpen form. He's got 5 saves, 26 strikeouts, 22 innings. They got some skill. I mean, it's very clear that JMU invests in their sports, and this move to the Sun Belt has been great for them. And I hope we just bring them into Norfolk and make them feel really sad about their lives when they leave.
That would be ideal. Yeah, I think Donovan Burke probably is going to be their Friday starter. They definitely mixed up who they put on the mound for Fridays, but he started six games for him. He's got a 3.98 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 14 walks. So if he doesn't start Friday, he's probably going to throw a good number of innings at some point over the weekend. And they've got a couple of really strong bullpen arms. You talk about Joe. There's a couple other guys in there that can absolutely throw it. So, I mean, I don't know if we're any better than JMU. I don't necessarily think that we are. I don't have any information that says that we are better than them. But one really easy way to go and prove it is to go kick their ass this weekend. Got to win the series. It's at home. Got to take at least two. Be nice if we were able to take the first two and finish that series off and take the third one as well.
And it'd be great to do that because then coming up, again, we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, but you know, it's always good to throw the ad out here on Tuesday the 16th. So the Tuesday right after this coming weekend, we got UVA at Harbor Park, which is gonna be the first time we've gotten to play at Harbor Park since 2019 due to various circumstances. So I'm extremely excited about that game. I hope we pack the place out. I'd love to see more people there than for any Norfolk Tides game they have this whole season.
I believe, don't we still hold the state record for highest attended college baseball game at Harbor Park when we played them?
It was against UVA. We beat them that game, which makes them sad. I think that might have been the 1-0 game, or it might have been a 4-2 game. But we beat them. There was about 7,000. It was like 6,800 something at that game. It was great. I'd love it if we could top that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a good number of baseball fans in the 757. I think that's pretty clear. I know many years ago the Nationals almost landed here. They ended up going to DC. There's a lot of interest. So having games like that where they have a little more visibility to the community is important, because when we roll out this new bud, we're going to need the community to come out and support and help fill those seats and supplement the diehard ODU fans that are out there all the time, despite the weather, no matter what, they're there. I know that you're definitely one of them, CB. I do my best to get down there from Richmond, but really hoping we just get a super nice weather day and no excuses to cancel that one.
Yeah, that's the last thing we want to give us any opportunity to not play the game. Hopefully we're there. I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting. So and hopefully at that point we won a few games this week and we're getting things on the right path and we can beat UVA. You saw, I mean, we that, you know, 4-0 loss, that was not a bad loss. Like, frankly, we played very well. We just got a hit. We need our guys. I've got to go up and show that same approach and that same drive that they had on Saturday. If they could do that, just part of that every game, we're going to have a lot better season going.
We know it's there. We know they can bring it out. But definitely, if you're around campus this weekend, it's going to be a good one. ODU football is having their spring game on Saturday as well.
Lacrosse has a game, I think, at 12. I want to say, I think tennis might be playing also.
It should be a great time on campus on Saturday. For baseball, you're playing 6 p.m. on Friday. 4 p.m. on Saturday, so that's going to be probably about 30 to 45 minutes after the spring game festivities have completed, and then we close out with the final game at 1 p.m. on Sunday. If you can't make it to campus for some reason, they will be on ESPN+, but highly recommend if you're looking for a weekend to go pick out and go catch some ODU games, this would be a great weekend to do it, because I'll remind everyone again, doesn't look like we're going to have any games at the Bud next season. It will be under construction, so enjoy all of these home games that we have now, because you might be relegated to either driving to the, you know, Peninsula Pilots Stadium or maybe over to Harbor Park for a couple, who knows where. I know we'll have a lot of road games too. So come and enjoy it this weekend. Hopefully get some good weather, that good spring weather, catch a little bit of football, some lacrosse, some tennis, whatever else is going on. I know the soccer teams are in their spring seasons as well, getting some work in. So good time to be on campus and enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great point, because I was actually looking at it. There's only 10 home games left. There's only 3 home weekends. There's only one home game on a Tuesday, I think, against VCU. And then also the game against Harbor Park, or the game at Harbor Park against UVA. So not to start pointing out how little there is left to enjoy, but like I said, get out there and enjoy it. There's only a little bit left here at the old Bud. So this weekend should be a fantastic one.
I was going through my personal calendar working on some work travel things, and I realized that May 21st is the official start of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament.
Yeah.
So we are 6 weeks from that, basically. It's slipping by very quickly. I mean, I never thought we'd get to 10 episodes of this thing, and here we are recording episode 10.
Well, there we go. Well, hopefully episode 11, we have a lot more fun things to talk about.
It definitely would be great. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. We appreciate all of you who do tune in and listen, everyone who is subscribed on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. Spread the word with our ODU fan base, because we definitely want to keep this thing going and just share the good work and the good people that are there within this ODU baseball program. Hope to see you out at the Bud over the weekend. I'm Gary. Go Monarchs.
And I'm CB. Go Monarchs.